number three is a subdivision and rezoning for property located at Charleswood Road and Wilkes Avenue, Ridgewood South Area 1, under file DASZ 24 of 2013. Councillor Nordman.
Okay. Our applicant is Donovan Taves. So, Mr. Taves, if you'd like to join us. Please proceed.
Thank you.
And given the hour, we'd appreciate the
brevity.
Reader's Digest version. Yeah,
I'll do my best. Next slide. Next slide, please. I guess we've been through a lot of this, and since it's the same evening as some of this information, I'll move through this. We're dealing with Area 1 as a subdivision application. Next slide. Which is there. Next slide. Some key points. The subdivision plan for Area 1, which is the most westerly within the precinct plan, addresses all aspects that are contained in the Ridgewood precinct plan. This includes traffic analysis and a road plan, the provision of parks, special lands preservation, heart trail protection, enhancement and widening, provision of naturalized lakes, cycling and pedestrian facilities throughout, and street and park historic naming. And as has been mentioned just now, this Area 1 is a good example of how the precinct plan can function effectively. Next slide. In my opinion. So what I've done in these next six or eight slides is I take a plate from the precinct plan and then I'll compare it to Area 1 to show how Area 1 meets the intent of the precinct plan. Everyone's familiar with this policy map, but I'll focus the attention over here in Area 1. So the test when we look at the precinct, the subdivision plan for Area 1 should show a collector connecting at Dale and then heading off easterly so that it forms this south collector. Should show a collector in this configuration. It should show a trail connection from the Hart Trail down to this corner where there's an underpass at the perimeter. It should show a trail connecting to Area 2 so that when Area 2 develops, if ever, it can be included as a trail, an east-west trail connection. And for this transportation policy map, it should show a local road. This is conceptual. It's meant to be that look like that at a precinct plan level. And you'll see the road network, as you've already seen in the preceding application, but it wasn't the right time for that information. Next slide. So zooming in to Area 1, Again, there's the boundaries of familiar shape, Area 2, outside of this application. Collin Drive will terminate at the Hart Trail. Dale Boulevard will continue south to fulfill its original design as a collector road for West Charleswood, the only collector road in Charleswood, to my knowledge. Transit service will be routed on the main collector road, which will also serve as the main active transportation route. Charleswood Road will ultimately be closed at the Hart Trail on the north side. Local street connections here, here, and here have been left so that Area 2 is not isolated when it develops, if it develops. We're proposing, as elsewhere in the plan, roundabouts at key locations. The first one would be here. The connection to the rail line will stay where it is. That is the those are road system highlights. This is a servicing policy map for the precinct, and again, focusing the attention in this area will show that there is water and sewer, although it doesn't show on the next plan because it's under the ground, but this is where the water and sewer will go along the collector roads. There will be a lake system, and that lake system, for land drainage purposes, will connect to an existing weir here and head up into the Assiniboine River. And again, this is a blow-up of the plan. If I highlight a few things, these lakes are required for land drainage purposes. Qualico has had great success working with Native Plant Solutions, as you've heard and possibly seen in other subdivisions, creating naturalized lake systems that look and function like water bodies, natural water bodies. The lake drainage system will connect to an existing drainage system I've already mentioned. If, when Area 2 develops, a new lake will be required for this area and will connect to the Area 1 drainage system this way. Water services will come in here, wastewater services that way, and as I mentioned, land drainage services here. Water as well there and there. That's all been engineered. Again, back to the precinct plan. We're familiar with this slide because we covered it today in the preceding presentation. What we'll see in the precinct plan, in the subdivision plan, is an embodiment of what we see at the precinct plan level. So there's our north-south, northeast to southwest trail connection. It runs alongside the naturalized storm retention ponds, the lakes. We see that important east-west connection allowing Area 2 to also, in the future, do its part to keep that east-west connection going. The Hart Trail will be protected exactly where it is. And then, I stopped running through these one by one, but if you can follow the red. The Hart Trail has been widened in this location. It's very skinny, but on the ground, every foot is important. The one significant natural area, if you recall from the blueprint, which needs some work, we're told, and I would agree, this is the most important area and actually the only one that made it on the map. The rest of this is cultivated land, although it is wet down here, and whether you would call that a wetland or not, I do believe is debatable. So the protection effort has gone into this area here. There was some talk about the roadway bisecting this green area that we'd like to preserve. The road used to be through this part, so we felt a little ironic that we moved it north so that it went through the skinnier part of the woods in an effort to minimize how many trees would be removed. That is an important road connection from the traffic analysis perspective, and it would serve as the second paved access that's required for construction. So it is an important road connection. I think there's openness on Qualico's part to have a closer look at this area. Maybe it can be redesigned to deal with the blue stem, big blue stem issues that were brought forward. I think there's a willingness to look at that and see if we can improve on something that's already, we think, pretty good here. Did I miss anything else? Public reserve area totals about 10% of the lands in Area 1, and I would say 8 to 10%. There was a... Pardon? Yeah, just about to. This second north-south corridor, this green area, in our early discussions with the community, we had put a five-acre park here. And through our work with Native Plant Solutions, well, let me back up. We put a five-acre park here as well as, can you go back a slide? We'd done that in several locations so that we had these north-south corridors there and then over at Elmhurst. And through our work with Native Plant Solutions, they said that's actually not a good idea. So you'd heard in an earlier presentation about the inability to walk from here straight south on one of the historic alignments. And we think, based on the information we're getting from Native Plant Solutions, and perhaps just logic, is that really we'll be funneling people right into the rail line and funneling animals there. So we don't think it's a good idea. Native Plant Solutions doesn't think the north-south corridors are a good idea, that we should be encouraging east-west in this regard. We do see proper, from this point where the trail would end, proper sidewalk connections to get people over a controlled intersection. We don't want to be throwing people into the rail line. We want to get them to a place where they can cross safely on the roadway. There is some debate. We've agreed to disagree on a point with the administration that this southern portion that I'm pointing at right now of this north-south trail is not required in the administration's opinion. I think it's debatable. We think it would benefit the future residents here to be able to directly access up here. It's a point of debate, a minor one in our opinion. Okay, two slides now. I mentioned the higher quality natural area that we would like to preserve. Really what it does is it links, and Mr. Len Van Roon Jr. mentioned this, links the Hart Trail to high quality areas in Area 2. Click it a couple times or once. That just demonstrates how it links the two. Next slide. And this is, next slide is simply a different perspective. We're now looking south this way, north that way. And this is the piece in an aerial photo view that will be preserved. And keeping in mind that we do need to put a road through here, there would not be development. One more click. And then also we're proposing vegetation easements. There's policy in the precinct plan that encourages vegetation easements as another way of increasing the dedicated, it's not dedicated land, but the amount of land preserved. So properties that would back onto here would have an easement restricting their ability to remove trees or foliage from the backs of their yards. We've been, Qualico's used that before with good effect. So that's another method that's not parkland dedication that is natural lands preservation. Okay, so, I wanted to review these. Can you hit it about eight times? There were some key recommendations that we feel this subdivision works towards. Four categories being preservation, mitigation, creation, and enhancement and connectivity. If you take the time to read the reports, it's quite thorough. Preservation, we should work to ensure that all habitat types are represented in Ridgewood Public Reserve allocation. And this does speak to some degree, the different types of forests, as well as grassland. The wetlands, I'm going to ask Lynn Dupuy from Native Plant Solutions to give the committee some commentary on the viability of sustaining those wet areas / wetlands in the precinct versus the creation of naturalized wetlands in an urban setting. Mitigation, so coordinate timing of construction. Some of that may mean winter construction to avoid nesting habitats, nesting species. Focus on a few large rather than many small habitat patches. This is more of a precinct plan level recommendation. Recreate habitat, and certainly the experience that we're showing Qualico in particular, LACO's doing it too with naturalized retention ponds, is attracting habitat. They are actually living areas. They're bringing new birds and other animals to the area. Enhance the habitat in terms of, for instance, at the Hart Trail, we're looking to expand wherever possible, and this subdivision does that to some degree. Connectivity, establish and maintain habitat connectivity, and as I've demonstrated, the piece that we'd like to preserve is an effort at connecting the habitat of Hart Trail with the habitat in Area 2. The land use plan, again, this is the precinct plan guiding the land use within the subdivisions in each of the sub-areas. So for Area 1, we highlight the road. It's primarily yellow, which is single-family development. Has the Hart Trail at the north end. There's an opportunity, if taken, for medium density residential, although you see in the plan that Qualico doesn't take up that opportunity. There is policy in the plan that, notwithstanding there's no other colors along the collector roads, that a low density multifamily would be allowed along collector roads. And we'll show you on the next slide what that means. So zooming in to the plan again, this is a zoning map, so all the little labels are R1 medium, except you can, I'll draw your attention to these red areas along the collector road where that would allow for some RMFS, so that's residential, multifamily, small. And we're looking at, this is picture's a little bit small, but a high quality attached buildings that you're seeing in some subdivisions, quite attractive. This is what would be proposed.
Next.
Phasing, we're proposing three phases for construction, phase one at the north end, phase two down in this corner, and that's important. Actually, if you notice, the phase one line includes this street. So as part of phase one, this isn't something you'd normally do in development. It's very costly to extend a street without allowing subdivision or development on the side of that street, extending infrastructure in advance of lot sales. But under the circumstances, with the concerns regarding traffic, the phase one will include this roadway connection down to Wilkes, as well as the connection to Dale, and then these local roads in subsets of phase one. Phase two will be everything basically on this side of the road that was built in phase one, and then phase three down here in the southwest corner. Very, very quickly, we've had ongoing meetings with CCHP, the Friends of Hart Trail, the Charleswood Historical Society, and City of Winnipeg representatives for this Area 1. This is above and beyond the precinct plan. So for this Area 1, we wanted people to see throughout that the subdivision plan would follow what was being laid out in the precinct plan, assuming that that precinct plan was adopted and development was to happen. We had to make that assumption in order to have these discussions. So we did have quite a number of separate discussions and an open house, just a few charts in terms of feedback we got, written feedback from people who attended the open house. We had a good cross-section of people from Cullen Drive, from Dale Boulevard, from Charleswood Road south of the Hart Trail, and from Charleswood Road north of the Hart Trail, from people elsewhere in Charleswood, almost half of the people sort of not in the vicinity of Area 1, not the immediate vicinity, but still in Charleswood, and then 15% elsewhere. We asked people if they had attended any of the Ridgewood precinct events so that we can get an idea if there was a continuity between the precinct plan and the subdivision plan, and we had a whopping 70% of people who were coming to this open house had also attended a Ridgewood precinct open house. And then in addition to the 70, we had another 7% who had attended a stakeholder meeting. We had smaller meetings with specific interest groups on topics, and so we had 7% from there. We had 7% who had attended a landowner-specific meeting, 2% who'd attended another meeting, and I'm not sure what the other is, but we had another category. But it's probably at my office or we had a meeting of Charleswood Road owners that's not shown on there as well. And then just 14% who had not attended any of the precinct plan, but they did get information about the precinct plan at our open house on this subdivision. 96% found the open house helpful. We always ask this question to understand if we're doing a good job communicating. On the precinct plan feedback, we had similar numbers in the 90% range of people who found the information helpful at each event. Next. How do you feel about the development proposed for Ridgewood West? A pretty open question. Lots of green, though, in terms of a development application. A positive opportunity for Winnipeg, a positive opportunity for Charleswood, then some neutral people not so sure whether the positive or negative, and then some who were not in support of this idea. What do you think of the aspects of the subdivision design? I think we still had people saying supportive, and those of you who have been at public meetings for development, it's not often you get people out supporting things, but we did have people supporting the idea of the road network, or liking it rather, and particularly and more so about the Parkway, Lake, and Trail Network. Still people not sure, and still people opposed to any development. Regarding the Hart Trail and the Pathways Plan, these were our goals: to maximize preservation of the existing alignment, to minimize new trail crossings, to maintain the trail as a non-AT trail, and the fact that we need to adjust the trail for the William R. Clement Parkway. There was some talk, it's not in this area, this is well further east in the precinct, but people did want to talk about that. People were and I say people where it's not scientific, but this is how we deal with open house information. Adjacent land uses as single family only, so we had a number of people say that, so that constitutes a trend for an open house. Again, non-scientific. And expansion opportunities for the Hart Trail. They wanted us to look for expansion opportunities for the Hart Trail. Yep, we're almost there. We have been working with Charleswood Historical Society. They are quite happy. Among the amendments that were put forward in Mr. Veach's report were two policies dealing with heritage and naming that Charleswood Historical Society, from the naming group within that group, there's some division, we're happy about this, and these are some of the top names that will be included. They're either from long-time Charleswood residents or from fallen soldiers who had families who were long-time residents. That's the end.
Oh, good for you. That's great. Any questions at this point? I do have a couple. Go ahead, Paul.
I'm just in the report here.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
I'll ask at this point. Just remind me why Area 2 is blocked off at this point.
Sure. All of the sub-areas in the precinct I mentioned before, we needed a way to talk about it in bite-sized pieces, mm-hmm. and there's unique interests in each area. The main factors were road divisions and land ownership patterns. So if you take everything west of Charleswood Road, there's a very distinct chunk that is very fragmented in terms of land ownership. There's probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 owners in that area too.
In two.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Whereas Area 1 is solely owned by Qualico, and so therefore we had discussions with Area 2, and they were relevant to Area 2 considerations.
And maybe Eric knows the answer to this, but is there a ballpark number of single-family residents or, you know, front doors that would be in the project by the time one is built out?
Phase 1 is...
I think it's shown on the phasing plan, so I'm just going there.
I believe we're in the neighborhood of 700 to 800 lots.
7 to 800.
7 to 800. Not
okay.
7 to 800. No.
Okay.
That's the phasing anchor.
Yeah, it's not shown in that drawing. Sorry.
So the phasing for one, you're saying the first phase of the.
Pardon me?
This is the phasing of the first phase. You're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Area one.
Yeah. For the whole area. Not just the first phase, but the whole area, all three phases.
Okay, those are my questions. Paula?
Did you speak specifically with people along Dale Boulevard at all?
Yeah, we did. I recall speaking with at least a few residents from Dale Boulevard at the public open house events. And I believe I even had one call me at the office who I spoke with.
And what were their feelings?
Well, actually, it's surprising. I expected more vociferous response, a negative response to connecting, you know, a planned collector road, and it's obvious for those of you, you know, those people in the business that road's going to extend. It ends, you know, suddenly at a boundary, but not everybody thinks that way. There was one lady who was quite concerned about the increase in traffic. When we did our You know, I walked these Dale residents, each on their own, through the traffic impact assessment, and then also walked them and showed them the amount of traffic that would increase, and then also walked them through how the road systems work in Winnipeg in terms of when you have a collector road, what is the design capacity, and our numbers in terms of the increase are still below the design capacity of Dale. So I provided them the information, and I think they're appreciative of the information. If you lived right on Dale, you'd be concerned about increasing traffic.
The report makes reference to the Ridgewood precinct plan as the guiding principles. Can you tell me, are there any sensitive lands that are identified in your area? And how were they rated and how was that determined?
Well, I'd like to get some clarification on your question. There were a few in there. Could you give me one at a time?
I want to ask, I guess, or find the answer to, what are the sensitive lands and how were they determined?
Okay.
So what are they?
When we looked at Area 1, we said that it was clear from a site visit that the area that I pointed out, the orange area that connects the Hart Trail to Area 2, was clearly a quality forest. I think Qualico even had their, did it Mike Allen go out there and look at it? They had their own forester go and look at this piece to rate its quality. So it was obvious to us, without any sort of natural areas assessment, that this was a piece of quality to be safe. Same as I had said for Waverly West when you asked me previously, Councillor. It was underscored, we found, by the work that was done in terms of the blueprint. It's going to be forever called blueprint. So we were comforted to see that what was decided early on to be incorporated into the subdivision was a good idea because it matched the assessment. The areas to the south, where I indicated there were sort of wetter, we did not include, and that was also probably a correct move because in terms of the natural areas assessment, it doesn't show up.
Okay. Just to go back to the question I had about Dale Boulevard and the residents who live there, I door-knocked that in April. And I also door-knocked Cullen Drive. And there was some question, and I posed it to the planner, about perhaps switching the entry point to Cullen Drive. Did you contemplate that at all?
Yeah, and if we want to delve into it more specifically, I'll ask Stantic and Genevar to respond, our traffic engineers. That was contemplated. Normally, you would, in the traffic model, you're trying to disperse traffic rather than collect it. And so more opportunities for street connections are typically sought. In this case, Cullen is not needed to appropriately disperse traffic because the collector road capacity is so great for Dale. And the connection to Wilkes also helps dissipate that traffic. So it was contemplated, but ultimately our engineers concluded that that was not required.
All right, well, that's it for now. We'll see you, gentlemen, in due course.
Thank you.
Eric, you're absolutely welcome to speak. You're on the list here, so.
Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight to do this. Having gone from the lofty principles of the precinct plan, we're now into the level of detail about things like sidewalks and whether public reserve should be for credit or not, and those such items. So I have a list of about 12 issues that I'd like to walk you through. I have delivered to Kim and I believe just today to the clerk a list of details that we'd like to go through, and I can pass those out to you now.
I'm going to put you on the clock, just if you
sure.
You know,
yeah.
So. You know you've got 6 minutes, yeah.
I'm ruling six.
The majority of the issues revolve around details within the Appendix C of the report, the ACG report. The first thing is we were proposing our exhibit here. There were three changes that the city wanted to have. The city was not interested in having the area between the height of berm on the railroad track, or on those lots backing onto the railroad track, and the railroad track itself, having that area as public reserve. They wanted to leave that in the landowner's hands. Now, what is in fact going to happen there is we're going to put up a berm and a fence there, and it's going to be very tough for the people to get there. But if it's their land, they'll try and go through the fence and leave their mattresses there. I don't know what will happen, but it will be land that I think will be troublesome for the city at large to view, and for people going by on the CN trains, if there's any of those left. But what I would ask is that the city consider this this area of public reserve. Now, how do you work this? Anyway, the area along the south end there. Don't point it at my eyes, okay? Yeah, there's an area there of about, I believe, 10 meters in width that we propose to be non-credit public reserve. The issue is that we would leave it in the city's hands for their long-term care and attention. We would propose to put native grasses on their relatively low maintenance situation, but it would allow the city to go in there and police the area as one area to be cleaned up every so often if it needs it. And indeed, if it is known as city land rather than private land, I don't think people would do things like try and breach their own fence and leave things there, whether it's tent trailers or whatever they try and push over the berm into there. But if it's not their land, it'll be treated uniformly. In other situations we have seen where private land is on the other side of a berm and fence, and people take different approaches to it, and it's a little raggy looking. So we would ask that be considered to be left in the city's hands. Oh, all right.
Barker Boulevard, that happens on Barker Boulevard.
There's also a stretch of park that we are proposing to leave in the plan. It's a very thin strip along this edge of forest here. It was one of the areas where the precinct plan calls for a trail. Now, the farmers that have worked this land were very, very careful about making sure that there was nothing but farmland on that property line. However, there is immediately adjacent to it much forest. And I think in order to properly preserve that, I would suggest that we have a thin strip of land on which we could put, again, if it's not to be taken as public reserve, perhaps a 10 to 15 foot strip, an adequate size of strip, so that we could have a common drain along this area, because this area will have to be drained properly in order to preserve the existing growth to the east of it. So I would suggest that in lieu of a park there, we look for 10 to 15 feet of non-credit reserve and put a drain there and make sure that the property owners backing onto there stay out of there and the drain always works. My concern is if we leave it in the private realm, when it's a drain, people will fill it in and it will not work effectively, with detriment resulting to the trees to the east. There's also an issue of a potential street location somewhere down here. We're totally ready to leave that the location of that street from the south east-west collector up into the area 2 to a time when something happens in area 2. And until that time, we can caveat that property. I do this as opposed to naming a location there, because we're not certain what will happen there, and it's, as you can see, a very small strip which would be incorporated into development of adjacent lands in any event. So those are those three items. There's also a discussion about Charleswood Road. Now, I have some slides. Charleswood Road is, as you may well know, populated on both sides with homeowners. And what we are doing here is we're establishing a new collector road within the property here, basically off the existing roadway, and then hooking up to it around here when we do the crossing and the ultimate work on Wilkes. These local homeowners here would be served by a local cul-de-sac service road, and there would be a local connection to the existing Charleswood Road to the north off of a roundabout here. This roundabout and full service road here would also be of benefit to development of Area 3 to the east. So that would be a major connection. This piece of work here, from there down to there, is well in excess of $5 million. And these connections across the railroad tracks and potential signalization onto Wilkes are a very important part of this plan and making sure it works well. But there is provision within this plan to make a local connection to the existing road, so that the ultimate development, when Charleswood Road is closed up here, all these people can use this road getting out here and get down to the south as well. There is also a one cul-de-sac in here which is slightly in excess of the maximum length that's in the ACG report of 105 meters. That would be 120 meters. However, we will keep the maximum number of homes to 24. There's much reference to frontage roads within the ACG report. We will have no frontage roads. We will use back lanes. where otherwise frontage roads would exist. There is also a provision within the ACG report that they'd be limited to 150 homes, and then we have another traffic study. I would like to point out that Stantec has done, as you know, a review of the entire area, and we hired Genovar Engineering to do a traffic study of this area in a much more detailed basis. Their findings echoed and really proved true the findings that Stantec had. And what we propose to do here is, and you'll recall this from the phasing story, is put this road in here all the way down south so that by the time we finish that first phase, there is a connection all the way from Dale Boulevard down to Wilkes via Charleswood Road. We would therefore ask that instead of a possible dead stop when we are well on to a major development here, that the city allow us to have 150 building permits until we get this thing done. By the time we get this done, then we would ask that the rest of the development proceed. But we would be restricted to 150 building permits while we do this. We work on the first phase and establish the temporary roads here for construction, traffic, and whatnot.
You know, I guess upwards of 300 car traffic.
There would be 150 permits, so there'd be 150 homes under construction anyway. Early stages in our development, things are quite fitful, and we don't really get rolling until you get past second year when you start doing more of a regular 100 or 150 homes a year. But I believe with our commitment to put a construction access down here and make sure that this is part of the first thing, we will make sure that the habits that are created by these new homeowners are to use Dale, to use this road, and to use the access to Wilkes, which will be abundant and easily attained. There's also a provision within the ACG report to have a 2-meter noise attenuation fence there. We would ask that that be changed to 2 meters or greater in the event that we can provide better sound attenuation along the perimeter with perhaps a taller fence. So we're looking at a combination of grade and fence and getting the right answer there. And in any respect, we would be dealing on this perimeter with the usual city requirements. I think a bigger fence and less berm might be a more appropriate answer here. So we're going to have a look at that possibility, and that'll be what we'd like to put to the city. Pardon me?
Are you getting close?
I am getting close. There are several items, item 22 in the ECG report through to the 26, that make reference to the existing Charleswood transportation levy. As we know from the precinct plan review, there is a requirement for a new levy in order to appropriately share the costs of developing the major intersections and the major collector roads and whatnot. And this work should be established here as a good precedent so that we can make sure it works throughout the entire precinct. If you can go back, I'll use that. For example, major crossings would exist at Charleswood Road and likely at Community, Hearthstone. That would be at Fairmont and perhaps over at Elmhurst, yes, a place I never go. As well, there would be a major collector road happening here and then an arterial connection east and west to the future Clement Parkway. So those would be elements of new infrastructure that would be cost-shared appropriately among the benefiting acres. So we're looking to the city to work with the landowner or with us and other landowners to get a good workable transportation levy for this area. As a result of that, we would be also asking that you consider pushing aside the existing Charleswood transportation levy within the precinct and adopting this new one as its replacement. because it would basically be obsolete, largely calling for, of course, an east-west arterial road there and a connection to the perimeter, which we know from the province is not desired from their point of view. So, in summary, we're looking for a new transportation levy to be implemented here and to get to work on that, and then retreat or change the boundaries of the existing Charlesville Transportation Levy to fit this in and make it work well. Basically, the way that a transportation shared cost network should work. I think, proper kudos to Bill Clement. He was very early in this kind of thinking, and he had a plan, and had it been able to happen dynamically, we could be very much seeing an arterial road down where the Hart Trail is right now. We have a different solution now, but I think the idea was good, and I think we've got to continue on with it. There are also provisions which perhaps we can get quick stipulations on. For example, in public walks which go between streets, we're being asked to put down 5-foot sidewalks and then asphalt and chain link fence. And what happens there is that it's just not pretty. This is the kind of thing we're looking for. We're asking that the city approve sod on either side and accept a developer built fence which is caveated on each lot for the homeowners to take care of. This
somewhere else?
Well, this these we're looking at this in this is in Sage Creek.
That's in Sage Creek.
Similar good results in River Park South. This was an example of what happened in River Park South in 1987, when I was a young boy. The chain link fence went up there, and then a homeowner on his own put a wood fence inside. He can't maintain the side of it. It was a schmozzle. But we have had much experience in doing developer fence here, which is to be under the ongoing care and maintenance of the homeowners, and we do not have trouble with that. The neighborhood respects them. They are not graffitied. It works out very well. So we'd ask that that be considered. With respect to items regarding parks, we note in items number 40, 42, and 43, there's talk about things that are well beyond the parameters or just different parameters. But when we're talking about providing dedication land, we're looking at where we provide land to grade level and sod, as we have traditionally done. Now, I want to keep those parameters safe, because although we're ready to do something, we want to make it recognized that this is a standard that we're doing. For example, here you see a park which has got standard sidewalk and standard sod down to a standard lakeshore. When we do lakes and linear parks, we're looking at doing something that is quite different from that. Have you got another slide for that? Oh, you're fast. You're way faster than I was. But you can see here, this is an example of a constructed wetland in Sage Creek. Two examples of it, as a matter of fact. And these are the kinds of trails that we do adjacent to them. These pervious trails are engineered and also incorporate weirs or drains, culverts for cross drainage, and allow us to offer a very gentle trip through a very wild area. And these are areas where we're in the middle of otherwise a very dense neighborhood, but these areas are true oases, and we do this with the standard. We're prepared to say that we'll commit to a standard of doing native grasses as best we can, and I'm saying that because there are areas where sod is only practical. But doing native grasses on the upland areas and doing these compacted trails have proven to be a very good amenity in Sage Creek, and people are quite accepting of it. And I believe in Charleswood, like they have in Sage Creek, there will be a large acceptance for the new responsibilities involved in maintaining upland grasses and not cutting them because they're up your backyard, and respecting the benefits that these grasses, particularly the wetland grasses, have in terms of clarifying the water and making it a much better output into the rivers and streams. So there are provisions in our amendments to deal with those standards.
Eric, Paula has a question.
Eric, this is Sage Creek then? These are photos of Sage
That's
Creek?
That's correct. Yes,
they are. And How many years of growth is that?
I would, this area here, this area is now 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that in the last last couple of weeks, we've had people from the Alberta Ministry of Environment come out and have a look at these lakes, and I'll admit it's with the urging of Ducks Unlimited. They are finding that these, or they are considering the idea that they would accept these in lieu of existing potholes, which are often not connected and not serving the additional function of cleaning all the runoff from adjacent land development. I know that people from Saskatoon were in last week, and more people are coming in next week, and also people from Moncton. So the work that's being done here, and I'll give credit to Native Plant Solutions and Ducks Unlimited, is receiving nationwide attention, and we're very proud of it. It works very well.
In terms of the natural grasses, how long do you maintain them until you turn them over to the city?
We employ a heavy system of diligence. The first thing we have to do is clear the area of weeds. Mm-hmm. Native grasses in the wild state, and we would probably find in the northeast corner of Area 1 a bunch of weed and some native grasses. But the first step in getting a good established, deep-rooted native grass community is a lot of weed control and very carefully monitored topsoil. It takes us about 3 years to establish the uplands grasses. The grasses or the material that we put in along the wetland area, that's much simpler. They basically take wedges of this stuff, transport it, and stick it in the appropriate place, and within 2 years, these wetlands at the wet level look quite substantial. By 3 or 4 years, it is very good.
So how long does it take, or how long does it remain in Qualico's care, I guess, before it's transferred to the city? In Sage Creek, for example, you said 6 years there. Has that...
Yeah, I think we turned over the first phase lake. This is the first phase lake here. I believe it was 5 or 6 years, Mike. Well, if you can't remember, then it wasn't this year, so it must be 5 years.
Okay. That's your intention, then, is to go with...
Yeah, we recognize that we're at the edge of this thing. One thing that we need to do as part of establishing this as a good norm for a community is to market it, sell it, and let people understand the benefits of it. The clarity of the water is compelling, and of course, it attracts huge amounts of wildlife that we hadn't seen in more traditional ponds. We would also ask that securities for our work in parks be reduced to 15% after we have substantial completion, and I've made mention of that in my notes. A final comment, I know you like the word final. I have mentioned the interest... I've already spoken about the interest in making a 2.5 meter or perhaps a 2.5 meter fence, at least 2 meters or greater on the perimeter. We have done some work along the railroad line. The railroad line is where we were talking about the berm earlier. This berm we will build will be about 2.5 meters in height, and the attempt is to get it above railroad track level, but in likelihood it will be about at railroad track level. The rear yard requirement we're talking about after doing some research, we would ask that the city okay an 24-meter, I believe it's 24-meter setback from homes to the ultimate fence line here, and the reason we suggest a slight reduction from 28 meters. I'm talking about 6 foot difference here from the 30 meters is that the tracks are well offset from the middle of the railroad right away to the south on the CN main line that goes right down there. So we ask that be considered. And the other thing is we're concerned about a 3-meter fence. We know the trains are noisy. There's certain noise attenuation benefits, but the noise is undeniable no matter what you do there. The vibration is there in any event as well. And the thing that we would be putting on homeowners on there is for them to maintain a fence there in perpetuity. And what we're asking is that that fence be a 2-meter height rather than 3-meter height, in order that it be something that homeowner can grapple with in 50 years or whenever it has to be worried about. So we're asking that that be considered. And that represents the entirety of my review through the ACG report and the planner's report.
So just a quick question here. So these are all amendments that you're hoping we'll consider. They're not a part of the actual report going forward, but there are things you think that we should consider.
I would love it if you considered all the perfect amendments and included them. And I know to some extent there is agreement in administration for them. Other times I'm going to get a cold hard stare from Donna.
Paula? Eric, in item 50, the developer is requesting the opportunity to present an alternate standard for the city's consideration. So now, this is in relation to a trail network signage and trail-related traffic signage on pathways and active transportation corridors, consistent with standards and specifications applied to similar citywide networks. And your changes, or an alternate standard proposed by the developers. So what is that alternate standard?
What we have found is that if we can offer some combination of landmarks, wayfinding, and local interest things that we come up with ourselves to present to the city, they'll go, that's better than what we were thinking. Yeah, let's do that. Otherwise, it might be, and I don't know what signs you had in mind on it, but it might be go this way. But I would think that what we're trying to do is do an enhancement. You know, I would call our work here with the Sauter Boulevard an alternate standard that we would always be proposing. Similarly with our pervious trail as always being part of the linear parkway.
Go ahead.
So that's a bundle of detail I appreciate after all the...
Just a quick question. You know, you did, in Sage Creek, obviously, you had kind of a, I don't want to say a public art piece, but there's some elements to make it kind of unique and that sort. Is there anything that's part of the plan here?
I think in Charleswood we have much more to start with. We have some good pieces of forest, some good land to work with. In other words, we're able to create destinations. One of the things that I think is the one of the things that I think people like about Sage Creek is the fact that they can go for a walk that doesn't necessarily involve going down their local street. They can take a trail and take a shortcut somewhere and be someplace. Great on the edge of something.
I think more than
we got good destinations here.
Okay. I have one more question too, and just on the basis of Sage Creek, have you got a marketing name yet for the area? Is there something? Are you that far down the pipe, or can you disclose?
Well,
that?
We've been talking. Our working name is Ridgewood West. Our consultants are, and it's not this bunch, but a bunch of wild marketing consultants came up with Wolf Creek, and I thought that's too hard on the deer. But we're still working on that.
I'd like to ask the administration if they have any questions of our...
Actually, can I...
You got one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd like to ask each member of the administration which of these recommendations they agree with.
We're able to go through maybe... in order and comment on them, if that would be appropriate.
And so maybe whoever the right person is for that item can comment on.
Yeah,
do you agree with any of these?
Yes, okay. Yes, we do. I do have to preface this by saying that I received this at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Not these amendments. at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and I had thought my colleagues had received it at the same time. In fact, they had not. Fortunately, I had the foresight to make copies for them, so they've seen for the first time tonight at the beginning of the meeting. So we'll try to be as cohesive as we can with our response, and it should be brief.
Okay.
Starting with item one of the plan considerations, one and two seem to relate to park. Or item one relates to public reserve. Donna?
I'll speak to that first. Are you able to go back? Do you mind putting up the drawings for me?
Either the phasing or the parks one. This one refers to the public reserve along the rail line, and the public service concern is that although the developer makes it sound like we'd have much better capacity to maintain that, we're talking about almost 1.2 kilometers from Charleswood Road to the perimeter of a narrow strip on a berm with the railway on the other side that the public service, be it streets or parks, would have limited access to. Our concern is that it becomes a maintenance nightmare, a liability nightmare, because we don't have ease of access or ease of visibility. Similar to the lands behind Park Boulevard in Tuxedo, where it extends all the way to the rail line, we think that makes more sense here, that it just be incorporated and the residents be responsible for all those lands. So that's our comment on one. So we would prefer that our recommended plan amendment related to that, or plan consideration, Schedule B, be considered. B? I believe B is related to the, that south.
Yeah, the north strip south. On the edge of area two there.
Well, actually, if you look at our schedule drawing, we had actually eliminated not just the south piece, but also from the little road stub north up to the larger PR land. I don't have a pointer, but.
So everything from there down?
Pretty much, other than a dog leg out and north right there up to the road stub. So up, go up just a little. Nope, down. There. So from there to the east-west connector, we're just leaving that L.
Leaving it out.
What we're suggesting is just this and the little piece up to that east-west road. So just that little X and then the little stub up.
Oh, I see.
Mike, please.
Yeah. So we're recommending, if you look at the schedule drawing, you'll see that we've shown just a little L-shaped park space. Our rationale for that was it isn't natural area. We see it as, and far be it from me, I'm not someone who typically doesn't promote parkland, and we respect what the developer's trying to do, but we see it as being somewhat redundant in the north-south connectivity. We already have the linear path coming in through and along the retention ponds. We'll also have sidewalks all along the collector immediately west of there. So it seems like there's a lot of north-south connection. And in a precinct plan where we're vying for as much dedication or cash in lieu to put towards natural area, and this being a cultivated area, we thought this was one area where we could save land. And I know the consultant and developer had suggested that it would be helpful to make it more of a cohesive land drainage. So from that perspective, we don't see it as a park solution, but a land drainage solution. So it's not something that Parks is particularly keen on having as one more strip to maintain. And even the fact that they did suggest reducing it, which reduces the size, but it makes it that much more difficult to put in a pathway, put in land drainage, and maintain it. So that's our rationale for why we're suggesting that.
Yeah, my consideration is that we have to do land drainage in order to properly preserve the grade there. And if that is in the hands of several different homeowners, there will be a very patchy solution with likely poor drainage, because people won't respect the fact that they've got to leave the drain paths clear of their neighbors, and that could also affect the forest. So that's the only reason I was thinking a 10-foot strip along there to in public hands to make sure that that doesn't happen.
The one thing I did want to mention was when we were looking at the plan, at the north extent where the larger PR piece is, you'll see that there's a little strip just left of a line there, which doesn't show up on the actual area structure plan or the application. It's been widened a bit. One of our concerns, and the reason we're talking about particularly eliminating the north piece from the east-west road and up, was because you didn't have sight lines. So from a safety perspective, if they can widen it the way they've shown there, and we have a sight line down to the east-west connector, we'd be okay with that as a connectivity to take you up to the larger park piece. We still don't feel that southerly portion is warranted.
Okay.
I think that's it for me on those comments.
Cindy, item two.
Or a diagram of how the Charlesford Road will connect into the roundabout or into the east-west collection?
Into there?
Right.
I think I have something. Best coloring, Cindy. Yeah, that offers a cul-de-sac solution as a service road for the people that would be south of that intersection on the east side of Charleswood Road, and then pretty well a direct connection off the roundabout for the connection to Charleswood Road.
So
now, I don't know, did Genevieve present that to you in the last 6 months?
The direct connection that you're proposing here, because that's going across private land and area two.
I believe that's this, land under our control.
This connection wouldn't meet our standards. Is it this?
If I can ask Genevieve whether they've made any presentations to your department on that, I'm not sure myself.
The latest version I had was where the roadway comes out and then comes back in, Scott. But our item two states that we want it to connect into the roundabout, so I don't think there needs to be a change to our item two. Because the change that you're proposing is saying that it would connect. Yeah, that's what we're after. So, right, so I don't think there needs, I think we're good with our.
You can present yourself, sir.
So this, we wouldn't accept this design. We'd want it to directly connect into the roundabout. So that's why we need, okay. Yeah, thank you.
And the next item is 120 meter cul-de-sac, I believe. Is that right, Kim?
Is you're asking item four be deleted regarding frontage roads? And,
I
have no frontage roads. We're okay with that. And item seven, yes, is exceeding the 105 meter cul-de-sac length. I'm fine with that too. And item eight, again, talks about locations of entrances and exits to frontage roads. That item number eight can be deleted.
Just for clarification, you're saying you're not in support of it? References to frontage roads have been removed? You're supporting that change?
Yes, I'm supporting that change. But item eight be deleted. Item 4 be deleted and item 8 be deleted, relating to frontage roads. Does the clerk have a copy of the document?
I do, but I'm not sure if I have the same one as you now. I don't have references to 4 and 8.
Oh my goodness.
I
Well, I prefer to get you had a copy of this one.
Does Eric have an extra copy?
Do you have any more copies of this?
You're referencing items 4 and 8 from here?
No.
Oh, you're going through Schedule C, sorry.
He'll provide, yes, in Schedule C. It's a document that Mr. Gogan sent to us this afternoon. There, those are the ones.
Okay. Apologies. Okay, yes, delete item 8. We would like to add one clause, though, under plan considerations, in that in the presentation they spoke about an access to the lands to the north from the east-west collector there, and we would like to protect that interest to ensure that
we would give you a caveat for that?
Yeah, that that land is caveated to provide an 18-meter wide opening for future use in there. So
yeah.
If that can be noted on the record, and we'll work out the details of the wording, but be it said that we will want the developer to dedicate an 18-meter wide piece of roadway.
See, this strip here, it could happen anywhere, or not anywhere, but it could happen at a couple of locations there, and it would depend on, I think it would allow more flexibility for the potential development phase of Area 2.
Yeah, one of the criteria and why it's shown where it is that it should be opposite an intersection on the other side of the street, so that does somewhat limit your location options.
Yeah, A or B.
Anyway, I hope that suffices for the record. Maybe I can describe it a little bit. It's a caveat to, or for the developer to dedicate land for an 18-meter wide right-of-way across the developer-owned land on the north side of the first east-west collector north of Wilkes Avenue. And the subject land to be caveated accordingly. Okay, now we're on page 29, item 10. And again, Cindy.
The reason we had put the 150-unit limit on this development was because we anticipate there may be some traffic that will, in the northeast section, that will travel north and shortcut through the area. What we were proposing is that once the 150 units are developed, the city could review this administratively and not require the developer to do another traffic study. So we would do our studies with our road twos before, and then we would look at that again, specific streets like Dale, Cullen, Charleswood Road, and if we're not seeing an impact in the traffic volumes, then to continue with the development or establish a new limit.
I just want to be clear then. So at 150 building permits, then you would, the city, the department would review it, and then this to me implies that a collector will actually be developed then?
Well, the change.
Completion
that they
of
made,
a collector connection from Dale to Charleswood.
That's their change that they've made.
Right, so are you agreeing with that?
No.
No. But So what will happen at 100, or what are you recommending will happen at 150
that
permits?
That we review the
That you'll review
the
and then what?
Of the traffic.
And then make a recommendation.
Right, either to continue with full development or put another limit on until the extension of the...
So this collector may be the solution, but something else may be then, if the traffic shows that it's become
right.
problematic.
If the traffic doesn't show impact, then it would be a different situation.
The units until the Clement Parkway was installed.
150 units, and then it could be reviewed again.
Okay.
The impacts on
no,
some
those
of
be
the
occupied units.
Pardon me.
Those would be occupied units.
Yeah, we would want them to be occupied.
So we have to build 150 and then stop and get them all full, and then we'll have a look.
We would do it based on a request. If you put the request through to us at that time.
So if I've got a 200 unit or 700 unit subdivision, I put in most of the collectors and half the lakes, and then I find out it's really only 150 unit subdivision. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay, I don't think that's fair. That is a non-goal. I mean, we just have to stop. That's the problem that I have with that. So we can't go if we can't be sure that our money is being well invested. If we're putting in enough collector work for 400 homes and a lake and things like that, and then find out that we can only sell 150 lots.
We've
seen two traffic studies, right?
The precinct study didn't get into that type of detail.
And you've seen the traffic study from Genevieve, which did get into that detail?
Area 1 traffic study.
Yeah. And your comments on that study are,
We had comments that we thought more traffic would travel north than what the study showed.
Okay. So you have a problem with our traffic study?
Well, we would have distributed, like everyone that does a traffic study would distribute the traffic differently. So we would have, the city would have distributed more traffic to go north. The study showed very few traffic to go north.
Like a Dill Boulevard was well used. I don't think it was very few. I think it was recognized it would be a useful collector.
Pardon?
It was recognized that Dale would be a very useful collector road. Like it wasn't very few trips. It was quite a few.
The distribution.
Like what we're doing by installing the infrastructure right down to Wilkes is making sure that the proper design is there so that people can make use of the advantage of the Wilkes alternative.
Okay, I'm going to make a chairman's decision here, and this is not something we're going to negotiate here tonight.
No, but we've talked about this since March. We put this in June, and it appears that Public Works wants to examine it now.
Yeah, I understand.
So we've been at this for 6 months.
I hear you, Eric, but I don't think we need to, with the greatest respect to our audience, that we will listen to them.
Why don't we just review kind of the amendments portion after, because we've got everyone here, so we need to kind of get through everyone, and then we can, does that sound fair to you? Just because it is 11:45 here, so it's not like we're not going to review it. But
so I think we're going to have to park item 10, yeah, right now. So let's just excuse any further dialogue with the administration. Do what? You can certainly ask a question, yes.
So, Eric, just to clarify your intention here then, without this amendment, you refer to it being a no-go. Are you withdrawing your application
if it goes ahead with that in place, we do not have any certainty that the millions we invest in lakes and collector roads and the startup of a subdivision can produce any more than 150 homes. Whereas the infrastructure is would be virtually in place for 60 to 70% of an 800 lot subdivision, so it would
Okay, so can you live with the old wording, though? The old wording was the complete transportation network is in place. This limit may be reviewed at the time that it is reached based on the then current traffic data and roadwork. It's a little less specific.
Well, the complete transportation network, and I'm not sure whether that involves, say, a collector road to the Clement Parkway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be in place.
He's requesting that it is. Did this change be made?
Yeah, the preliminary work done by Stantec was substantiated by a different traffic engineer, and they worked independently, and we feel very confident there was good work done in both cases.
Let's move on to the rest, and then we'll the administration about the recommendations that have been put forward. Item 12, there. You agree with that change?
We agree with
the Okay, so this is saying construct Portland so cement concrete.
I thought it was 14, but I'm sorry.
No, 12. So 12 is struck. So does that mean we have no specifications on the thickness of roads?
This
and
is for frontage roads only, Councillor.
It's for what?
Frontage roads only, and they're not proposing any frontage roads in the development. You'll see a note, clauses 15 to 18, left blank intentionally. That was a typographical error in the original report. 15 to 18 are also blank in the original report, so you know.
Okay.
Item 22.
How about 20?
20, I don't see.
Attenuation fence, they're actually increasing or proposing to potentially increase. That's...
Seems like a pretty easy one.
Yeah.
That's
an issue. No issues. Well, Cindy, regarding item 22, within the proposed amendment, I do have a recommended slight change of wording, but I defer to you on the. On what the whole amendment is going to say, but I would suggest in the last sentence, the new transportation levy shall be payable to the city prior to the release of subdivision milers for registration of lotting plans at WLTO. We have no control when the subdivision will actually be registered, but we do have control when the milers are released. Mm-hmm. So, but having said that, go ahead. This is your clause to deal with in the bigger picture.
The transportation
yes.
levy?
Yes. Item 22?
Yeah.
What are your comments on item 22?
This is a new account that was approved out of the precinct plan that would be separately dedicated then? Is that how we're to understand
maybe
it? At 35?
Ask the applicant to clarify.
The intention.
Well, the clause 22 speaks to the Charleswood Transportation Levy, which is for establishing an arterial road on the Hart Trail. The precinct plan speaks of a levy to share the infrastructure costs of major road work between major collectors, arterials, and intersections with Wilkes that would be cost-shared. And we propose that that levy be instituted. And because that levy is for the actual work rather than the theoretical work of the Charleswood Transportation Levy, that we focus on that and then have the Charleswood Transportation Levy amended such that this takes its place.
And you're saying it should be, or this was in the document, 35 cents a square foot?
That's the current.
Well, that's the existing
rate.
The new levy would have to be worked out.
No, square foot. 35 cents per square foot.
So, okay.
The new levy would be reflecting current costs and would be for sure working.
What's the opinion then of our administration on this change?
Well, I'm not sure about the change with 22, but the whole transportation, Charleswood transportation levy was a council adopted, I think I have it here. So I don't think we're able to make that change.
For dispensing what the Charleswood transportation levy is adopted.
So out of this, is there a need for a motion if this is adopted then, or a separate motion to council?
I think that's
where I think we would have to be directed to look into what Eric is asking us to do with the levies.
Okay. So all right, what about item 23?
Well, until 22 is concluded, the recommendation for 23 doesn't make sense.
Same with 24, 25, 26?
Yes.
All of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do we need to do then?
We need more time. I don't see how we can deal with it.
Is there a way to amend the plan after the fact, or no more? Because you'd have to repost
it. Well, if this moves forward to planning committee, then we can't introduce new information. The only way would be to, you know, introduce some wording that provides either scenario, like if approved or
changed. You see, the image that they've shown on the screen, the proposal is to take the old Charleswood transportation levy and just use it for existing Charleswood outside of the precinct. There's already money in that account we talked about earlier. The consultants and the developer is proposing that a new levy be established within Ridgewood South, the darker green area, to pay for the streets that are being built within Ridgewood South. So what we would have to do is probably go back with a motion to council saying basically this, but in wording to say that the old Charleswood levy should be for everything outside of the precinct and that a new levy be established for everything within the precinct. But at this point, administration would have to be directed to do that. To go forward and to look at that change. We can't just do it right here because we're dealing with adopted policy. The Charleswood Transportation Levy is an adopted council policy. So we would have to be directed as administration to review this idea and then come back.
Technically, Ridgewood is not in Charleswood as it stands right now.
The old Charleswood Transportation Levy talks about the east-west Ridgewood corridor, which was supposed to go on the Hart Trail. That's why it was purchased way back. And the Charleswood Transportation Levy refers to the Bill Clement Parkway. Well, it was called the Charleswood Parkway in those days. So the old transportation levy doesn't really address the new way of doing things in the precinct plan, where it's a twin collector and it's less arterial roads and more collector roads. The old levy doesn't really work for the new Ridgewood South precinct plan and the transportation plan for Ridgewood South.
A month away from getting council, so.
One more than that.
Yeah.
And P&D's tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm not clear why we need a different levy. Could somebody explain why we two levees. I'm asking the administration. I'd like to know why you're recommending two levees.
I wasn't involved in the meetings, but from what I understand is the existing Charleswood Transportation Levy is kind of restrictive in what it can be used for. It talks about an east-west Ridgewood arterial. And in the new plan, there is no east-west Ridgewood arterial. It's a twinned collector. So the old levy, there needs to be a new one, perhaps, because the old levy doesn't seem to address the new transportation layout of the precinct plan.
The other element that was brought up earlier this evening was the interest in improvements in the older existing parts of Charlesville as well, and a review of those levies could incorporate the view of that. No, that was.
I'll pay for some of those improvements.
Well, the old levy, new levy. We've got an old levy that is needs to be pushed out of the way, and we need to have a new levy. But I think certainly there's shared work to be done within the Ridgewood South Precinct, but also there was mitigation work talked about earlier by CCHP, where they would be looking to see some funds directed towards some fix-ups in the existing streets as well. So it's a significant piece of work, but I think it's something that has to be done. The question is how.
You guys want to take a 5-minute break here just so we can collect your thoughts and break down what you want to do?
Well, unless the administration wants us to, you know, caucus for a minute. Yes? No? I don't particularly care to. No. So at this point, 10. 22, 23, 24, 25, 26 are set aside. Is that what we were? Okay, so I guess we will put those aside for the moment. New clause, what? 29?
Oh, sorry, if you're moving to 29. There's 27. That's a minor amendment to 27. That's okay. To amend 27. 29. Donna?
Actually, probably a
combination of Cindy and I on B. From a parks perspective, we're fine with the sod. I know that streets is, it's under streets jurisdiction, so. Okay. Whether it's wood or chain link isn't an issue from our perspective. We just wanted to ensure that there was some property line delineation.
Yeah, we've had no issues with developer installed wood fence. It's high quality and the neighbors know it's theirs to take care of.
As long as it's caveated to the private residence and the city doesn't have to maintain it.
That's a standard procedure for us.
And the only thing, we do prefer to keep the post and chain fencing because we do find that sometimes vehicles like to use it as shortcuts. That, and it also clearly delineates it as public space.
Some form of bollard?
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be the metal, like decorative bollards, whatever's decided, just something to...
If we'll submit a design for public works approval.
Keep vehicles out. So what we're saying then is B is okay, C is okay, and D we would like to have kept in as a condition. I'm not sure if that was caught. That's okay. What we're saying then for 29B, we're okay with that as they've provided a revision. C is okay as revised. D, we don't agree with, and they seem to be okay with it, that it be reinserted back as a condition. I guess 30.
I'm going to make a decision here, and the chair is going to adjourn for a moment and put it on pause, and we'd like to ask the administration to come with us. Gentlemen, just stay with us for a few minutes here.